today's podcast.
Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations, you have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangibound Network? That's right. Go check out TangiboundNetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains, you can do it. You can do it. Check it out, TangiboundNetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time. Check it out.
I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
On this week's episode, Josh Peterson and I weigh in with our thoughts on the weekend battle at the box office, as Spider-Man Homecoming and War for the Planet of the Apes get set to do battle. We also talked the latest Emmy nominations and who got their just due and who should be seeing the blues. And can Gran Turismo reach the heights of its former video game glory and give Forza a race for its money? All this plus more clips from the great podcast at Humanica Media, a clip from the latest Tiny Titan stream, and another hit song from Hyperschmidt. It's another huge bag of podcasting kittens we have for you today as we reach our next stop, the PCC Multiverse.
Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos. We truly appreciate everyone out there giving us a chance and listening out there, whether you're streaming us on the podcast radio network or on the over dozen downloadable podcasting and streaming options that we have out there. We truly appreciate being part of the broadcast here today. And who else is with me? None other than the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind Humanica Media is Josh Peterson. What's going down, my friend?
Just got done recording some super BS. But yeah, man, let's talk about some stuff and some things and some pop culture things.
Absolutely. But first, not only is the Super BS Gamescast coming around the corner because he just taped it, but what else came out this week that you're really, really interested about telling about? And, you know, not only the what's going on with the podcast radio network, but also your stuff going on Podbean, iTunes, and podcast.com.
Yeah, it's a whole bag of mixed nuts there. We have a Attack of the Humanicans, which you can listen to on Podcast Radio Network every Tuesday at what is the time?
7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network. I was seeing that all that great advertising and seeing that big Humanica Media logo out there. So I was like, oh, wow, he is part of the big time schedule now. But what else is going on? Because I know, like I said, you had also one of your other podcasts that really, really gotten a lot of interest from a lot of people out there.
Yeah, we got Topicocalypse has gotten a lot more listeners than I thought it would. We're only on episode 2 and we've had over 300 listens. I know compared to the big guys, it's not that much, but to me, that's quite a few. So thank you for listening. You can, if you haven't listened to it, you can check it out on podcast.com, YouTube, and our Facebook page. Hopefully it'll be up on iTunes soon, or you can check it out at the end of several of these Pop Culture Cosmos podcasts.
That's right. We'll have a taste of Topicocalypse today. Well, it's going to be another great episode indeed. Again, we truly appreciate it being part of the broadcast. We're the PC Multiverse, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network. We also got the number one show 5 months in a row on the Podcast Radio Network, Monday nights, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. It's the Pop Culture Cosmos show indeed. And later on, we'll get you a list of all those great channels that we're on. But right now, there's a big battle brewing at the box office. And I don't want to delay our conversation even more because Josh hasn't told me yet exactly what he thinks of Spider-Man Homecoming. And you know, he's the big Spider-Man freak around here when it comes to, you know, the comic book web slinger and all that. So I'm interested to find out if you want to read my review of Spider-Man Homecoming. I actually have it on our site, popculturecosmos.wordpress.com, that has it in detail. I'll give some hints of whatnot, obviously, in our conversation here. But Josh, in the big battle brewing this weekend at the box office, we have Spider-Man Homecoming and also as well War for the Planet of the Apes. War for the Planet of the Apes has really, really done well with critics. It's holding about an 82% rating on Metacritic, and that's based off of all the major critics' ratings out there. It's quite possibly the best of the trio of movies from this recent Planet of the Apes iterations. So I want to hear your thoughts, not only how well that will do this weekend, but faring up against a strong second week contender in Spider-Man Homecoming, which I know you have just seen, and I know you have a lot to share about as well.
I think it'll do okay, because there's not everybody likes superhero movies. I know Spider-Man is super popular, but it's refreshing. Like, if we've seen anything from like Baby Driver, it's that people do still like to go in to movies and watch things that are different, watch things that are not related to superhero franchises. They like to watch big blockbusters that don't have, you know, people flying around punching each other and explosions. Like, I hear, from what I understand, the new Planet of the Apes film has a very compelling story, and it's interesting and it's emotional, and that's the kind of movie that we haven't really seen in summer blockbusters for a while. And it's
closing out this area of the trilogy, correct?
Correct. But I also hear that, Matt Reeves, he's a director, correct? After he's done with Batman, he wants to go back and do some more, but I don't know if Fox will wait that long, but we'll see. But anyways, yeah, I hear that the movie's really good. And if this trilogy of movies has been really great, like, it's been a step forward for science fiction movies, and as far as remakes go, like, it has really set the bar high for that type of film, and I think that that's kind of what audiences want to see or need to see right now, is something that's not related to someone wearing spandex, and it's garnering good reviews and people are saying good things about it. So we'll have to wait and see. Like, I have to watch it before I, you know, make a call about it, but I think that it'll do okay. I'm pretty sure it'll hold its own. The last two movies did decently.
Yes, they've garnered over $1.1 billion at the box office combined worldwide. So they've been very, very good, very solid moneymakers at the box office, with the second actually, you know, as what movie industry analysts and also movie industry companies like to see as far as the sequel doing substantially better than the original, which did well in its own right in itself. So I'm not sure. Actually, Fox is estimating a little bit lower the initial opening because of the strong leadoff against Spider-Man Homecoming than what the previous film in the series did. But it's still expecting strong numbers indeed. And I think it will gather a really good word of mouth and a strong legs at the box office, because the fact it is, it looks like from all appearances to be a really quality film, and definitely a great way to close out the trilogy indeed. So I'm looking forward to a nice battle indeed between the two. I still think it could be fairly close, but I still think War of the Planet of the Apes will come out on top, but it'll be very close. And I think War for the Planet of the Apes, just like its predecessors, they don't get the big, huge upfront money, but what they have is people coming in the second, the third, and the fourth week to really pack them in as far as and really sustain that hold week after week after week, because those movies are very, very good when it comes to word of mouth. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that battle shape out this weekend. And Monday, we'll talk a little bit more about it on the Pop Culture Cosmos show. But as far as Spider-Man Homecoming is concerned, I know you've seen it, but before I go into any more about Spider-Man Homecoming, because I have some questions for you, please share your initial thoughts on the film itself as you left the theater.
Okay, Spider-Man Homecoming. It was good. It was probably, it's better than most Marvel films, but I still don't think that it was as good as Amazing Spider-Man. And I'll tell you why. Because I think in Amazing Spider-Man, it really just, it hits you it hits your emotions. You know, everything is so well written. The villains, you sympathize with the villain. They have a reason to be villainous. And, you have Peter Parker who's in this situation where he's thrust into this thing and he has to deal with it, but and the consequences of his actions. Whereas in Spider-Man Homecoming, I don't really feel like he has as much on the line as the Spider-Man did in Amazing Spider-Man. So you have, and the big reveal about the Vulture being, can we spoil things? Are we good on spoilers? All right. The big reveal about the Vulture being Liz's dad, like that was like their big twist, but it wasn't, there wasn't any reason for Peter Parker to immediately go out and ditch her at prom. Like it was such like a weird revelation to me that he suddenly knew that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. That was a rabbit hole. Like that was definitely a deep rabbit hole for him to have reached down and come to that conclusion so fast. And like as far as the Vulture's motivations for being a criminal, I kind of got it, but it wasn't as much of an emotional punch as like the Lizard's motivation.
Well, it isn't as emotional, and this is one of the slight flaws I had with the film. To me, it wasn't as emotional punch near the end when he's riding his Jaguar and has his big house, and he still tries to justify it like he's one of the little guys, and he's rolling around in his Jag everywhere. If that makes any sense, it just loses all that. Justification that he had in the beginning of the film when it was apparent exactly how down and out that whole group was, correct?
Right. And I think they kind of, and like especially like the scene at when Peter runs out of prom, there was honestly like he didn't even know that he was going after the Stark plane at that moment. He just decided, like, why did he need to do that? Like, why was that so important for him? He didn't say that he was going to kill his aunt. He just said, show my daughter a good time. There wasn't any reason. Like, it wasn't, he wasn't going to spill gas all over the city and turn everyone into lizards or something. And I think that the writers kind of realized that, and that's why Shocker was out there at the end, and Peter's like, hey, what were you doing out here? So, see, they kind of threw some dialogue and maybe some extra parts in there just to kind of weave their tale together. But I feel like, yes, it could exist on its own, but I feel like it was really relying on the fame of Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark to kind of give this kid a place in this universe. Whereas I think the other Spider-Man movies, even Sam Raimi's original trilogy, did a great job of having this hero exist in his own world. So I think they could have done a little bit better job of making him not feel so much like we're trying really hard to tie this in to that. But I liked it. There are some writing flaws.
Well, I had some issues with what Michael Keaton's character was saying at the end, the justification, because it just really, you couldn't justify it because of what his situation was near the end. And now he just became an all out and out criminal at the end, which is, like I said, obviously what you want to do when you get closer to the end and you're really ready to battle, you want to have Tom Holland's character really justify why he's doing what he's doing. I could see why you thought it was kind of vague how they just go ahead at the prom and just kind of go ahead and brush off that end of it and just go it right into, he needs to go ahead after the Vulture, after they recognize and realize each other. But his compulsion to do the right thing, his compulsion to be that hero and be beyond the neighborhood Spider-Man hero, gave him that compulsion.
I get that part is just like there. I like when these heroes, like, seriously, what drew me into Amazing Spider-Man is that it, literally everybody in the movie had something at stake. And they didn't really, that didn't really, I didn't really feel that in this movie.
I can understand that. And I definitely can empathize with that as far as your thoughts on that. I still overall thought Holland's performance was brilliant. I thought there, again, they obviously wanted to sprinkle in everyone else, and they did a great job of doing that. But I wanted to see more from most of the characters that were in there. I would have liked to have seen more of Robert Downey Jr.'s character interplay with Tom Holland on that. A little bit more Zendaya's character to understand a little bit more her motivations indeed for the long term, especially since she will be a version of MJ or could be a version of MJ down the road. And then also as well, I want to ask you the biggest question at all that I have when it comes to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay, what's your question?
How did they blow it on 8 years later?
What do you mean 8 years later?
Okay, if for all intents and purposes, they're a salvage crew as far as Michael Keaton's crew, as far as originally before he became the Vulture. And they were a salvage crew after superhero battles and whatnot, and they're the ones that they were given permission to go ahead and clean up and whatnot. So they start to clean up the Battle of New York, right after the Battle of New York, if you're following me now. And Battle of New York takes place in the Avengers movie in 2012. So that being the case, you know, they get overrun by Damage Control, which comic book fans would be familiar with and what we alluded to on a previous podcast. And unfortunately, they're out of a job, and they're forced to go ahead and with whatever alien technology that they have at their stead, as far as what they've already gathered, try and come up with some weapons that they can go ahead and go a different route that's not exactly awesome and legal, but they go down that route, obviously, to become the villainous crew that they do. But the next thing you see before the evolution of Tom Holland's character is the big sign and the big graphic 8 years later, which would put the movie a little bit ahead of schedule, and that would make it 2020. So I ask you, what's up with 8 years later?
I don't know. The movie I noticed was kind of all over the Marvel timeline. Like it was.
And doesn't make sense to me because unless you're trying to place it after the Infinity Wars, which doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah, because you have the Wrecking Crew, which is 2012. Then you had what happens, I guess, literally right after Age of Ultron, or was it where they had that new building?
Yeah, and then it had that new building, and then they placed that time back. So you're talking about even a different, because that new building is there when Captain America Civil War happens, and it happens at the end of Age of Ultron, that new facility, because they talk about, you know, the Hulk splitting up, Hulk's gone.
Yeah, because when they introduced it as like a brand new facility.
It's like that took place 3 years after, because Ultron, it was a 2015 film. So now you're making your timeline even stranger. And then there's the fact that Peter Parker was announced as the kid in the Tony Stark Expo deal in Iron Man 2 at the scene where the kid with the Iron Man helmet on was going to go and try and battle these guys. And obviously Iron Man saves the day in front of him in a scene reminiscent.
Posters in his room too. I remember they.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a scene right out of that one. I think came first ahead of these Amazing Spider-Man 2. Was it? Where the kid does it in front of the rhino. Yeah, so like eerily reminiscent of each other. But anyways, that was Peter Parker in Iron Man 2. They alluded to that. So he would have been, Iron Man 2 was a 2011 film?
Yeah, about then.
So that would have made it 7 years ago. So he was 15 in the movie. So he would have been 8 years old then. Okay. So it just like the timeline really gets a little bit messed up when it concerns the Marvel timeline. So if you really take a look at it, it's all out of whack, and you know, it definitely doesn't make
sense.
He would have been 7 years old at that point in time. So, okay. So he's 15 now. It's 8 years later. I get that part. But you should have started the movie based off of that incident as opposed to the battle for New York, if you're going to go that route, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah, but if they wanted to start with seeing how the Vulture got his origins then and the battle for New York salvage and all that, then you had to have changed it to 5 years later. So that's a little sticking point that I have. And now I think the Marvel timeline is very similar now to the X-Men timeline, thanks to Spider-Man Homecoming, because nobody has any idea what's going on with the X-Men timeline. But this is now a major task that Kevin Feige has to undertake in regards to setting things right, because now there's so many different things. Marvel has been so careful about placing everything in this timeline. And now I'm also explaining how the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to interact with the Avengers in the upcoming Infinity Wars. That's another biggie, how they're going to be able to do that. So that being the case, it's just all over the place. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to still piece that all together. But Spider-Man Homecoming kind of put things from a Marvel timeline perspective a little bit out of whack. Don't you agree?
Yeah, they pulled an X-Men on us. So I know that they can somehow find a way to fix it, but yeah, it was kind of all over the place. So we'll see where that ends up.
If they had done the scene in the beginning of the movie from Iron Man 2, if they'd mirrored that, then I could see the 8 years later. But since they did the Battle of New York at the beginning of the movie in Spider-Man Homecoming, again, spoilers, sorry everyone, then it should have been 5 years later indeed, but that's neither here nor there. But your thoughts, it was a good movie. Just you think that Amazing Spider-Man 1 is better. There's still so many people, as I told you before, that loves the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2 is the best. I personally think even with all those slight flaws, this is still the best of the Spider-Man movies, because I've never actually enjoyed a Spider-Man movie as much as I have this one. There's been bits and pieces which I've kind of liked, but nothing as a whole. And definitely this fits for me, my realm, as far as what I'd like to see out of Spider-Man. And then it also leads into many, many, many things into the Spider-Man universe. And it does definitely try to do more in helping that universe indeed, does it not?
It does. I think that like Marvel's take on these characters is they want to keep it campy. They want to keep it funny. They want to keep it lighthearted. And I respect that, but I know that Spider-Man is a very funny character, but his universe and his world, like, it's funny. It's also very dark and kind of depressing at moments. Like, so I hope that that Marvel will still, you know, find a way to capture those moments and not make it like something that we just want to laugh at all the time, you know?
I understand. Indeed. There was a very emotional scene in the warehouse where he has all the roof cave in under him, and he at the moment did not have the will or the strength in his own heart, he thought, to be able to get himself out of it, but he willed himself because he remembered what Tony Stark had told him, which I like that emotional scene. That scene got to me as far as, you know, from a powerful scene indeed. And I think credit goes to Tom Holland on that, because I think he's the best Peter Parker that I have seen on film. And I know you're, like I said, you're the expert, you're the comic book man indeed, but I'm telling you, from my point of view, I think Spider-Man Homecoming is a definite watch. You thought it was a good movie as well. What are your thoughts on Spider-Man Homecoming out there? Do you like our little spoilers as far as it's concerned, letting you know that, you know, what's going on? What are some of the questions that you have out there for the movie itself? And do you think that it's going to do really well up against War for the Planet of the Apes? Or do you think War for the Planet of the Apes is going to be the film to look at going from this point forward? Let us know, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, popculturecosmos, humanikinmedia and GameSource on Facebook and Twitter as well. And a great thing indeed, like I said, if you catch the Pop Culture Cosmos show on Monday, we're going to be talking more about the weekend battle indeed. And then also check out Josh's show, Attack of the Humanikins. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network. Well, we've got a great show lined up for you. We've also got a conversation with Christian Zamuno previewing Evo Tournament, the biggest tournament of the year for many fighting game fans. It's going to be previewed by our own Christian Zamuno coming up later in the program. Also as well, we're going to get a clip from the latest Tiny Titan stream with Rob McCallum, you know, with all the great games that they've got going on there, and find out a little bit more about that. And then a Topicopocalypse clip coming up for you as well. We're going to be talking some Emmy nods. We're going to be talking some Gran Turismo. And a great subject Josh likes to talk about. We'll close out the show with that. But first, we got a great song from Hyperschmidt. This is Forsaken, and this is the PCC Multiverse.
Out. Do you really want to make me stronger? I'm living without a doubt. I can wait another minute longer. Do you know what you were talking about? Because I think you couldn't get much stronger. I'm living without a doubt. Now all your followers begin to wonder. Get up, we'll fight. Oh, they will know. See the way it makes you nervous. I can see that look in your eye. Now you know that I found my purpose. Now I've got this fire inside my head, but stuck in the clouds of thunder. All the traps you find by the light. Now all your followers begin to wonder. Get up, we'll fight the darkness right beside you day and day.
Hey, this is Chad from Ghost Toasters, and you're listening to Pop Culture Cosmos Podcast.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One Podcast Network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
2017 is a pinnacle year for Rob McCallum Films. Coming off the heels of the internationally acclaimed and award-winning documentary Missing Mom, we're in the final stages to release Kitty, Origins and Evolutions. Check out this heavy metal biopic that explores the ups and downs of rock and roll for the women in Kitty who blazed a trail in the music industry in the face of unthinkable adversity. Kitty Origins and Evolutions releases this year from Rob McCallum Films. 2017 is the year to set your future on fire.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast here today. Josh, I just want to ask you real quick, when it comes to the Emmy nominations and the best of television, I know it's getting a little bit harder to, with all the shows that are out there for people to get a gather on exactly what is the best in television today. I have my thoughts on what good television is, and I know that's far different from what you or anybody else would think as well, because there's so many different things to watch in television. It's hard to get a glimpse of what's going on. But what are some of the Emmy nominations that stuck out to you, maybe that you thought was really good, and someone or something, a show or whatnot, that you thought really got snubbed?
I'm glad Stranger Things is on there. That Stranger Things and Westworld, I love Stranger Things. I hear Westworld.
Westworld had its moments. Westworld to me was kind of up and down, but it when it was strong, it was really, really strong.
Yeah, and I feel like Silicon Valley definitely deserves a nomination for Best Outstanding Comedy Series.
This Is Us, again, riding high off all that momentum. It's been a big boom for NBC. You can see why they got a lot of acting nominations and also as well Outstanding Drama nomination as well, so that credit to them. With me, though, as someone who, like I said, sees a selected amount of TV, I think The Americans not being on the Emmy nods this year, because that just year after year after year just really has just some strong, really strong plot lines as far as storytelling. I think it should be on that list every single year. But and then obviously the surprise was, seeing so many nominations for Saturday Night Live. But then again, this is one of their best years as far as from a critical, but also a rating standpoint in many, many years. So maybe shouldn't be surprising indeed. But does anything else stick out to you as far as the Emmy nominations are concerned?
Sherlock, I'm glad that's up there. They haven't been nominated before, have they?
No, not that I have seen. So yeah, Sherlock,
that is really an outstanding show. It's so well done, so well produced, so well acted, and I can see why people like it so much.
Indeed. I don't know how long they're going to stick with it, because obviously the main characters are kind of busy doing a lot of stuff, so it's always hard to squeeze in that schedule to, when you have two actors that are so preoccupied with doing other things and bigger projects, it's great to see when they go and do something like this that they're still able to go ahead and really perform at that level, correct?
Right, but I think that it is shows like this, these such heavily acted shows, that kind of got them into these roles that they're in now. Like, we wouldn't, I think as far as Benedict Cumberbatch goes, like, I think that this Sherlock kind of put him on the map. Yes, he was good and he's been in a lot of other things, but, I think Sherlock put him on the map, and it's cool because you don't see a lot of classically trained actors in, movies like in the Marvel universe and stuff like that. So that's really cool to see.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. That's definitely an outstanding perception as far as seeing that Benedict Cumberbatch getting that nod, but just the show itself is really solid. And I'm glad that Benedict Cumberbatch did get the actual nomination for his performance. Indeed. What are your thoughts out there on the Emmy nominations? Tell us your thoughts on who you think got snubbed, or who are you really happy that got a nod or whatnot, and who do you think is actually going to win some of these categories? Send us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, Humanica Media, and Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well. And don't forget our good friends at the TV Ratings Guide. Also send your thoughts there as well, because they are the leaders as far as in television information, and I'm sure they'd love to hear your thoughts as well.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials?
So what happens when Rob McCallum interviews the guys from Tiny Titan Studios about their games Dash Quest and Tiny Rails?
Well, I've sourced a bunch of questions for both Tiny Rail, since you're producer on that, and Dash Quest, since you're kind of the head honcho on that. Can you guys both maybe chime in on how excited everybody has been once this was unveiled?
I'm beyond excited, and I work here late.
It's awesome.
we've had a lot of really positive reactions to this guy on social media, which is awesome to see. I have to say, I'm not super well versed in my Miyazaki.
Totoro.
Oh, you mean, are we going to be cruising in the game today?
That
is probably an oversight on Andrew's part.
Andrew's just getting thrown into this one again.
I'm sensing the cat bus.
I am sensing a theme week to week.
We don't have the area unlocked.
Last week we were calling him Vanna. On social media, you teased a map of Asia. We have cars today. When do we get to rail in new lands?
When do we get to rail in new lands?
Some of these questions are getting borderline Smurf-like. When do we get to Smurf over there? Puppet One?
Don't call him Puppet.
I want to see you cosplay as Puppet One.
I've never actually seen the headlights come out of cat's eyes before. It's pretty creepy.
Because we have a bunch of different ways that Dash Quest can expand, right?
It can be modes,
it can be story,
it can be a map, it can be dungeons, it can be...
So this is specifically about story.
About the story
mode. Yeah,
about
will the story mode expand?
There are plans to expand the story mode.
Here's an interesting question. Before you guys decided that Tiny Rails was your next game, what other game ideas were you considering, and what made Tiny Rails the winning choice?
I don't know that I am comfortable saying what other ideas we had, because you never know when they might appear in another Tiny Titan title.
Jump to the chat here for a second. Bill the Cat says, this is like listening to a Simpsons commentary, but less random. I think that's good. How do you balance adding content that suits players that have been there from the beginning with content that's accessible by beginners?
Ooh.
Let's go back to the questions here. When creating enemies or gear in Dash Quest, where do you get inspiration from? You can tell us. If everyone at Tiny Titan plays AD&D on a nightly basis, I won't judge. Did you ever get into D&D as a youth or recently?
I was a youth, sure. How long did the game take to make for mobile? From start of dev until launch, it was probably about 4 months.
I can't even remember when.
I love the cat bus / cat train engine for the Asia car bundle, but I'm really curious about how you could possibly top that with future car bundles dedicated to each area. Will the Australia one have a Crocodile Train D engine? Like Crocodile Dundee, but Train D? A dingo cargo car? Seriously, stop at the cat train and retire knowing you've hit the mark.
Well, first of all, you got some nerve.
Play Tiny Rails, Dash Quest, and all the great Tiny Titan Studio games available now through the iOS App Store and through Google Play for Android. And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast here today. If you get a chance, check us out, like I said, every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network, and on also as well our two other great shows on the Podcast Radio Network. That would be Pop Culture Cosmos Show, the number one show 5 months in a row at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network, and Attack of the Humanikins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, also on the Podcast Radio Network. And if you like our shows a lot, check us out. Please do so, because we truly appreciate you checking us out. If you can't catch us on the Podcast Radio Network, we've got a ton of options for you to download and stream, including iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I think that's probably the best way to say it now. Apple Podcasts. TuneIn, the Ace Podcast Network, Overcast.fm, Player.fm, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Podcast.com, Mixcloud, the ESO Network, the Tangibound Network, and the Gunna Geek Network as well. And then also our home site, popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. You can actually just hit the RSS feed and it'll play right for you as well. And then Josh's Humanikin shows play on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, and podcast.com as well. So Josh, you were at E3 2017 with me. We got a chance to take a look at a lot of great games, including when we went to the PlayStation booth and the Xbox One booth. And when you go by the Xbox One booth and you know the Xbox One X is coming out later this year, obviously there's a new Forza game to go along with it, Forza Motorsport 7, that's going to look great. But Forza's been the king of the driving games for many years now, taking the throne away from a title that you and I both have some familiarity with, and that's the Gran Turismo series. Well, sure enough, Gran Turismo is coming back, and hopefully coming back strong, October 18th to the PlayStation 4. So I ask you, Josh, your thoughts when you were filming and taking a look at all the action going on with Gran Turismo, and do you think it's going to reclaim the throne as being the premier game in the racing genre?
It's funny, I was actually talking about this with the guys on the Super BS Gamescast tonight. I think it looks cool, and I know people are excited for it, but I think that Forza is kind of one of those games where people can rely on it to be good. Gran Turismo has, over the years, like, they have constantly tried to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and it hasn't panned out very well for them. And is either the last one or the one before that where you could play half the game,
the prologue.
Was that what it was? Well, there's one where it's half the, you raced half the game, and the other half of the game you were coaching drivers. Like, that's not fun. People like Forza because they can play it from start to finish. There's no, like, weird game types or modes they have to go through. They can just sit there and play it and enjoy it, whereas Gran Turismo is always trying to put these nifty little game modes in there that people aren't really too fond of. And whereas with Gran Turismo, you have to wait 3, 4, sometimes 5 years for a new entry, Forza has always been there. And I think because, you know, Forza's like the Madden of racing games, people are going to be more loyal to something they know they're going to get each year.
But similar to what we're seeing in the movies, do you think there could be a franchise burnout that would have them gravitate over to Gran Turismo?
I don't think so, because either way, they're going to be playing a racing game, and I think they're getting their fix with Forza, and it's not, they don't have to worry about, you know, having a racing game they don't like. They already know that they're going to enjoy Forza, and well, Gran Turismo, the new one especially, looks very beautiful, and it has a VR capabilities. I don't know if that's what that's going to turn into, but I think that it's going to be good, and it's going to get good reviews, but it's not going to knock Forza off of its throne.
Well, either which way, Gran Turismo, it certainly is not what it once was in the industry when it was the definitive racing game in the business, and it was something that actually moved systems way back when. And even the most recent successful line of Gran Turismo games has not really been at the level that it once was before. I think, like you said, those 5 to 7 year gaps where it just wasn't available has caused fans to go ahead and get somewhere else their racing fix.
Yeah, and Gran Turismo could knock Forza off of its perch for maybe a year, but, you know, as soon as another Forza comes out, there's no Gran Turismo to hold the title. It's, you know, it's all might be pointless in the end.
Well, it could be worse. It could be Drive Club, but we won't go there. What are your thoughts on Gran Turismo versus Forza Motorsport 7? PlayStation 4 owners, are you excited that this Gran Turismo is coming around the corner? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, Humanica Media, and Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well.
This is Travis from Ghost Coasters, and you're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos podcast.
Do you love pizza?
Do you love brothers?
Then you'll love the Pizza Bros Podcast.
The Pizza Bros Podcast is a weekly show where two brothers discuss all things pizza.
Pizza snacks.
Pizza fashion.
Pizza tech.
Pizza history.
And don't forget the epic Saucy 16.
We review pizza from local restaurants in the Pacific Northwest.
And let you know if it's worth your time and money.
Each episode is only about 13 to 30 minutes.
So it won't take up most of your day.
Served up hot and fresh every Wednesday.
The Pizza Bros Podcast.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
We don't sell our podcast.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop
Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you coming back and listening to us. It's going to be the biggest event of the year, at least around here in Las Vegas, when it comes to esports. It is the Evo World Tournament. Several different games are coming to the conclusion of this climactic series and this tournament, as far as every year seems to get the top level of esports athletes here to Las Vegas. And just really, just who better to talk about it than our own man in the know when it comes to esports, Christian Zamudio. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well, actually, prepping for Evo myself.
That's awesome. Awesome indeed. Samurai Chris, as they call him, you want to make sure you look out for him. Will any of your early round action be televised on Twitch, or is there anywhere, you know, first off, anywhere where they can get a hold of what you're doing online before maybe it transfers to the main Evo channels on Twitch?
Right. All right. So there is going to be quite a few avenues in which you can actually see me in action, either in commentary or playing in brackets. So the first thing is tomorrow, there's going to be an event at Press Start Gaming. It's going to be called the PSG Classic. I'm going to be competing in Killer Instinct and probably Tekken. I'm saying that only because it's going to go how I feel tomorrow about how I'm going to end up as far as practice. So that's going to be on twitch.tv/LasVegasKillerInstinct. I'm going to be on commentary, rotating with a few other notable members of that community. And there's going to be a lot of talent coming out from across the nation. Then, since KI isn't part of the main roster, this is the event that our community kind of pulled our resources to. Let's see. Other than that, if I make it far enough into pools on Friday, you'll be able to catch me on one of the Evo channels that's going to be broadcasting Tekken 7. I believe it's going to be on twitch.tv/Tekken. I actually looked at my bracket. It looks pretty interesting. I might actually make it through depending on how I'm feeling as far as gameplay is concerned.
Well, we wish you all the best and all the luck in the world with that. You know, in Las Vegas, everything comes down to luck as far as that's concerned, because it's always a gamble here in Vegas. But I believe it's on the Shoryuken.
Yeah, it's on the Shoryuken website. Well, it's not even on the Shoryuken Twitch channel. It's on Evo. It's going to be Evo 1, Evo 2, Evo 3, 4, and 5.
Well, if they just go to twitch.tv to start off with, it's going to be
It'll be on the front page.
Yeah, exactly.
All weekend long.
Exactly, indeed. So definitely check that out. And again, our best to you from Pop Culture Cosmos. We're going to be rooting for you. Going to be tuning in as far as to watch you decimate the competition this weekend, indeed. Yep. But speaking of the competition and all the games that are going on there, because it is, again, essentially one of the big tournaments of the year. Yes, I know that there's several selected tournaments around the international and you know whatnot, but those are usually centered around one game. When it comes to Evo, this is an embodiment, as we've talked about before, of several games, including Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, Guilty Gear, Injustice 2, Super Smash Brothers Melee, Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U, Blaze Blue, the King of Fighters, Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3. Those are some big games coming as far as for this entire tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's totally right. And a large amount of them have long names and titles and their sequels, especially King of Fighters 14. That game's been around since, 96?
Exactly. And I do want to go into the extended details, because it would run longer than our 60-minute runtime on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If we were to talk about the history of the games themselves, we would need a whole multitude of series, because then and you have to go to players, and then
Exactly.
Not enough time in the world.
So outside of your endeavors this weekend, you know, that people need to keep an eye on, because they do need to keep an eye on what you're doing and how you're progressing through the tournament. What do fans out there of these games need to look forward to and need to look towards when they're watching the Evo tournament? Because they can't see it all at one time. Which Super Smash Brothers should they really be looking at? Street Fighter V, should they look at that past Guilty Gear? What are some of the best competitions? Because as you and I both have seen, sometimes EVOs can just be like a slaughter where one person comes in just high end and just decimates everybody. And it's not even close. It's not even entertaining. I'm going to be honest with you. I love those close matchups. I love those surprise upsets out of nowhere. We've seen them before as well. So I want to get that out of the way as well. There's been some really heavy competition at times, but you and I know that there's some games out there that there's some heavy favorites going into the tournament.
All right, so let me start out with Injustice 2. I know as far as competition is concerned, you've seen a lot of you've seen Sonic Fox kind of like dominate the NRS games for a while. And with that, he finally has a bit of competition. So I recommend watching that only for the sake of watching or trying to see if anybody's going to take the crown from him in this game. Let's see, in Street Fighter V, it's basically anyone's game, really. You have a lot of competitors such as Punk, a lot of the Japanese players. I think Daigo is still playing. Well, yeah, he is still playing, but he's not having as much success in this game like in Street Fighter 4. A lot of the North America, if you like hometown favorites, like home crowds, like the North American players, Street Fighter is more, like you see more upsets in that game. Marvel, same thing. You're starting to see a lot of variances in who's actually like the better region of players. Our very own Ryan LV just got picked up by Splice Gaming, an EU organization. They picked him up today as their Marvel vs. Capcom 3 player. So like I said, it's a huge opportunity and a good thing to try to watch this guy attempt to finally win an EVO, the last EVO for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I recommend that to watch those series of games, if anything, above anything else. Because I know in King of Fighters, it's kind of like, it's entertaining, but we'll see. We have like Romance and I think El Rosa, who are like notably like some of the world's top players in that game, who live here. I watched them play and it's really cool. But like, I know if you're not into very like aggressive style fighting, then it won't really matter. And then Guilty Gear.
And then Xavier Woods from the WWE is actually going to be in it too. But based on what I've seen so far and the draw that he has, you might want to check in early because he probably won't be staying there very long.
Probably not. I would actually argue that if Kenny Omega had any time to prep for Evo, that he would make it farther in than Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
Just based off facts. Those are facts. Like, that guy plays Alex pretty well.
Yeah, those two have competed against each other, I believe, in competition before. I believe in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
They had a few exhibitions at CEO.
Yes, and I think Kenny Omega came out on top, but he's got a heavy slate from his tenure in New Japan at the moment, I guess. So, but definitely something to look forward to indeed. If you have any, you can bet. We're here in Las Vegas, and you can bet on the Evo tournament as well. You know, that's esports is now a reality of life in that realm. Who would you put the money on, and who may be a good surprise bet to put on some money on as far as betting on the esports Evo tournament is concerned?
Oh my God, this is going to be so hard to really answer, only because you have a lot of people who are like, who might be like sleeper players that might end up winning. So I'll give you some examples in Tekken. Tekken's I didn't even mention Tekken. The roster is so stacked in that game. You have a lot of Japanese players coming through this year.
I noticed that. I noticed it's really heavy in that realm.
So one of them being Tanukana. Like she is a female Zhao Yu player. She's really good. Like, I'd recommend that. Like, if you're gonna place any bets on who will make top eight at least from there, she's one. And then don't count out JDCR or Nee from South Korea. Even Saint. Like, those three, I would highly recommend that you place a bet on, because they will definitely take your investment very far into top eight, if not winning the entire thing. Let's see who else.
And that bodes well, actually, for early next year when Evo, I guess, originates a tournament from Japan as well.
Yeah, especially for Evo Japan. That's going to be quite a tournament to see, like, who will actually fly out, who won't. Let's see. Trying to shift into Street Fighter here. Who would actually
try a long shot? You know, maybe like a 20, 30, or 41 shot. Then maybe you put $5 down, and you never know.
Exactly. So let's see. As far as bets are concerned, let's move into Street Fighter real quick. Let's see. Justin Wong has been performing well. He won a Canada Cup with the new character Ed. I'd imagine that he'd use him again. And I don't doubt that he might actually make it this far this year. Because I know we had one North American competitor that was L.I. Joe, and that was kind of a fluke, right? Right after Evo, you started seeing a lot more North American players make top eight, even win Capcom Cup. Speaking of Capcom Cup, I would recommend if you want to place some bet on someone, anybody, I'd pick Liquid's Knuckledew, because he has been playing the game very methodically, puts a lot of effort and training into it. It's the reason why he is considered a champion.
Absolutely, indeed. So any last thoughts, any last announcements, or anything final you want to say about either your weekend coming up or anything going forward?
Yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's gonna be under EXC Zamora Chris. My at is Terradyne, TerraDyne. I do want to say though, I've actually been streaming a lot more lately, a lot of Tekken 7 and Killer Instinct content. So be on the lookout for me. My Twitch name is it's twitch.tv/Zamora Chris. And then there's going to be a lot going on this weekend, leading into this weekend. I feel like I'm not ready, but you know what? I'd say I'm just going to go in, put my best foot forward, see what happens.
Well, we definitely wish you the best luck indeed. And I know you need to get back into training and practicing for events that coming up indeed, starting with the PSC Center indeed, and going into Evo. Their tournament indeed. So we wish you all the best with that, and hope everybody out there enjoys and follows you, and
of course
also watches everything going on with the Evo tournament this weekend.
Yep.
Christian, as always, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Can't wait to have you coming back on the show, talk about esports or anything else you want to talk about. And like I said, you're always welcome back right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Yep, and I'll always be glad to be joining you. So thank you, Gerald. I appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. Thank you. Yep. And again, this is the PCC Multiverse.
See ya.
Welcome to Topicocalypse, where four, sometimes more, educated and or opinionated people gather around a table to discuss random topics for your amusement.
I wonder if he's, against gun control, but he's like, all right, I'll do this, but, and it's not, not for the money or anything, but to get his point across, I'll ask people the questions you want asked, but I already know what the answer is going to be. So it's like, do you do it as an eye-opening thing for people that look, not everyone believes in, gun control, or Christians can want to carry a gun, it's just it makes you think, what angle was he going to go with?
You can catch Topicocalypse right now on iTunes, Podbean, and podcast.com. And we're back to close out the show. This is the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast here today. We truly appreciate all the 5-star ratings we got in the past week. And we truly want to give a shout out to those who did that. And I will do so at the end of the show. But Josh, it's going to be a great weekend for you. It's going to be the premiere of Game of Thrones Season 7.
Correct. That's a big one. It's the second to last season. So this is where all of the episodes of endless talking and backstabbing are finally leading into something epic.
Well, let's hope it leads to something epic. So I ask you, Josh, what are some of the epic things that you... I know you mentioned it about a month ago when we were talking a little bit briefly about Game of Thrones, but... Now that you've been able to see the trailer, and now that you see all the things that they're pointing towards you, what are some of the little things that you're going to be looking forward to as far as that will lead into the big picture for the overall battle that's coming up?
We're going to see some things with Jon Snow and Sansa. There's going to be some conflict there for sure. And I know Cersei, we're going to see her kind of step into her role and kind of plan her war against Westeros, so to speak. My prediction is that Season 7 will kind of wrap up the whole war between the kingdoms, and then Season 8 will have the kingdoms finally going to war with the others. And so that way we'll have... Season 8 will be full of all the stuff that we hope to see as far as mysticism and magic. Maybe they'll finally solve who gets to sit on the Iron Throne, or maybe they'll throw a wrench in things and the conflict with the others will happen while they're still fighting over the Iron Throne. But... it'll be cool to see Khaleesi actually end up in Westeros and see what she does first.
Well, that's definitely some great insight indeed, and I definitely am looking forward to it as well. I know millions of you out there are definitely looking forward to the season premiere of Game of Thrones as it hits its seventh season. I know everybody's excited because you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So that's something great to look forward to as season seven from Game of Thrones hits. And that's coming up right around the corner, right on HBO indeed. What are your thoughts on Game of Thrones? Tell us out there your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. And then just let us know exactly what kind of things are you're looking forward to. What are some of the things that are intriguing you most about the battle over the Iron Throne that's going to be coming up right in the near future? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, and Humanic Media on Facebook and Twitter as well. And I do want to thank everybody out there that gave us those 5-star reviews this past week on iTunes. And that includes Johan, Jay Landers, Jace, the German one, Southern Biscuit. Appreciate all you out there giving us those 5-star rating reviews. And if you get a chance as well, and you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we truly appreciate you giving us that option right there to go ahead and rate and review our show indeed. So Josh, any last words on what's going on with Humanic Media on the way out, or any last thoughts coming up on anything you got cooking hot in the stove this weekend?
Stay tuned for new Super BS. We also have the Tuesday night show, so be on the lookout for that. Other than that, we'll continue to pump out some Topicocalypse. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, do it. You can check it out on podcast.com, YouTube, Facebook. But yeah, we're ramping up production on stuff, so there'll be more coming soon.
That's awesome indeed. And we truly appreciate, again, everybody out there telling us the good word in regards to our show. And hopefully we'll be able to tell your friends about us so we can go ahead and be on even more great places coming up in the future. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day right here in the PCC Multiverse. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
Tangent Bound Network. Let your voice be heard. TangentBoundNetwork.com.
Thanks so much for downloading the Pop Culture Cosmos as a special treat. We're adding a bonus episode, which starts right now. So sit back and relax as you enjoy more awesome goodness from the Pop Culture Cosmos family, and stay tuned as more great podcasts are on the way.
Thanks again for listening to us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Welcome to Topicocalypse, where four, sometimes more, educated and or opinionated people gather around a table to discuss random topics for your amusement. I'm your host, Josh, and I'm joined here today by Jake, Jasmine, JB, and the usual suspects, Daniel and Eddie.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Jake. All right. So this should be a fun one. So a couple years ago, I was at a different church, and there was a reverend there who came, and he presented a pro-life argument. Okay, so he's a pro-life speaker, and he does all kinds of stuff like that. And then someone asked him to present gun control.
Ooh.
it under that light to say that, okay, if we take care of guns and if we take guns off the street and we control guns via the government, then lives will be saved. And by and large, almost the entire congregation was like, yeah, I respect you for coming out, but...
Yeah, it's kind of like if only we could make drugs illegal. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
They're off the street. That's right. Illegal drugs are not... Oh, no.
And I'm not going to lie. Throughout his whole talk, like he was a very eloquent speaker, and he did this video where he went basically across the country talking to pastors and preachers all over the country presenting his arguments, and the vast majority of them disagreed with him. And like, okay, yeah, it's our Second Amendment right, and you know the Bible says that if I can't defend my wife and kids, I'm no better than the infidels. And he had good points to refute as well. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there and see what you guys thought about it.
But like, as it's kind of crazy. So like, as a public speaker, they're like, we want you to talk about this. If you're kind of, you know, it's like, I wonder if he's, you know, against gun control, but he's like, all right, I'll do this, but, and it's not, you know, not for the money or anything, but to get his point across, I'll ask people the questions you want asked, but I already know what the answer is going to be. So it's like, do you do it as an eye-opening thing for people to like, look, not everyone believes in, you know, gun control, or Christians can want to carry a gun, you know? It's just like, it makes you think, what angle was he going to go with?
Like, he had a few different angles, but here's another point that this one really, really made me think. I was in a Bible study a couple months ago, the Rooted Study, and I was with another guy. He put the point up where, okay, when do you think Jesus would say it's okay to pull the trigger? That one blew my mind. I was like, okay, there goes the death penalty. There goes like half of my self-defense arguments, and there goes like basically a lot of reasons that I had. I still think there are some, but that one blew like the death penalty out of the water for me.
Because, you know, it all goes back to, you know, an eye for an eye. No, you turn the other cheek. Well, then, okay, you get to the point where you've turned two cheeks. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
And it's like, am I going to let, you know, it's kind of hard to take it as a biblical thing because, like you said, you know, if you can't defend your wife and your family, but then it's like, okay, well, this guy, you don't know his intentions, but if it looks like he's going to take my, you know, show you something to my wife or my daughter, dude, you're gone.
I'm sure you do, but it's kind of
hard to put it biblically with, you know, you got pro-life, yeah, I get that, but then you got pro or anti-gun, it's kind of a murky area.
I was talking to a different pastor that same night, and he was talking on the topic of taking life, and he's like, would I take your life to protect my own? Absolutely not. You can take my life all day. But you threaten my congregation, you threaten my family, you threaten other people, I'll dust you in a second.
Yeah, it's something that my dad says, you can mess with me all you want, but just do not touch my family. Yeah. But see,
that's a hard one. I mean, imagine, you know, you're on your own in that topic, and his life gets taken because he doesn't want to take someone's life. It's not that they're, you know, it's just you by yourself. Your daughter's not there, your family's not there. But then, you know, your daughter's going to grow up without you. Exactly. Your family's going to grow up without you. Providing for them,
and that's all. That's what.
And that comes back to perspective. And what gives them the right to take your
exactly?
Life.
That's what comes to perspective. That's what I'm saying. The whole biblical thing about, you know, gun control, I couldn't see arguing one way or the other because there's so many. It's going to sound like, you know, it's going to sound like gray areas, but there really isn't. You know, it all depends on how you interpret the word.
What would Jesus do? He'd turn the gun into a snake, so he couldn't get killed. And then mix up some wine and party with them.
Dude, like, come on, man. Turn those bullets into loaves of bread.
Come on, man. Have a sandwich. Have some wine. Let's talk about your anger.
Honestly, I would love to be able to just talk a gun out of anybody's hands, but
with
the whole thing with like terrorism and Muslim extremism, it's like,
honestly, though, dude, people are unpredictable. You can't, like,
they're so unpredictable,
and especially like in arguing the politics of gun control. Like I there's this meme up that I saw during like an anti-gun protest, and this lady was saying, or no, it was a pro-life protest. Anyways, she's had a sign up that said, "One day I want my body to have the same rights as my husband's 12 gauge." And I'm like,
you know what Kelly said to that? She's like, "So they want to be registered?
Yeah, they want to be registered. They want to have their capacity limited.
They want to have, like, put in a safe. Like, it just
okay. Yeah, well, put in the safe. You can only have like X number of kids. But if you go over that, that's a felony."
I was like, "Well, Kelly, I'll go grab my gun cleaning oil and I'll clean you real quick."
That's not safe. No. That's not safe to put that up there, dude. There's a
I
lot
got
of
the same eye. But does that, so curious, you know, I heard this at work. We just had a new guy start at work, and a couple of the guys at work are, you know, they have the Charles Stanley daily devotional, and, you know, they have their, he calls it the Bible thumping book, but it's like how to discuss topics with Catholics and so on and so forth. So the guy tried to poke, and he's like, hey, did you know that the Bible is open to interpretation? It's whatever you think it is. And then it's the only thing that's black and white in the Bible are the letters. And one of the guys is like, nope, there's red when Jesus talks. But I'm curious to that, like, to go back to the gun control is, you know, there's verses that say, you know, that kind of give you that feeling, yeah, it's okay to protect yourself and your household. And then there's other verses, well, no, you turn your cheek and just get slapped and that's the way it goes. So I'm curious, what do you think about that as far as the Bible being open to interpretation?
That's a really good question. I would say that parts of it may be open to interpretation. I will not sit here and tell you that I'm qualified to interpret them.
Oh, nor am I. So if you were to tell me, I'd believe you.
So I do think that some parts of the Bible would be open to interpretation and open for discussion, but there are some that that's a hard line no.
Yeah. I mean, like you just said, there's black and white, and then anything that Jesus says is red. So basically the stuff that you definitely can't interpret, it's not open to interpretation, would be the red ones. From a Christian standpoint,
that's a strong one.
It's interesting too, because we today, like, sin doesn't exist. Obviously you have like murder, rape and stuff like that, but like sin exists in a different context today than it did back then. Like, we have access to things that they didn't have back then. So I'm not saying that the Bible is open for interpretation, but it's just time. It's different time.
Well, it's also, and if you think about, and a lot of pastors will say, it's a kind of like a living, breathing document. So it will, though it's not the exact same sin, if you look at what was deemed a sin, it still falls in that category. You know, like the false gods and stuff like that, or you shall have no other gods but me. You got people that are, you know, worship money, they worship cars, they worship status, they worship drugs, they worship weed, you know what I mean?
Instagram profiles for their pets.
Well, okay. That one.
That one's kind of creepy.
That's kind of creepy. Yeah. But no, but I mean, it's so it's like. It's,
but I'll be honest, it pays the bills for some families.
Absolutely.
Wanted a selfie.
But I do know of one family. They. Yeah. Really, one but person is actually like leaving their job to do like viral stuff full time, and it's treating them pretty well. I cannot lie.
Hopefully this takes off.
Yeah. Yes, I can retire.
Like, if you think of like who makes YouTube videos for a living,
like the AB
10 years ago, that job did not exist. Oh yeah, I make
internet. So like, what about this? Or what about that?
Exactly.
Super Pod Bros.
You guys can follow us if you want to.
Humanicomedian.com.
Wait, you do podcasts? I didn't know that.
I thought we were just shooting the breeze.
Yeah. What is that microphone for?
This is actually going to go on a cassette so I can listen to it in my Honda.
So you roll a Honda? Do you play workout tapes by Fonda? No? Nothing?
I mean, sure.
Nothing? He got it. Thank you. He's with me here. No? Nothing?
Well played.
Nobody?
Well right. played.
So,
I think the whole interpretation of the Bible, it's like, a lot of it's like leaning on the understanding of the Spirit, like of the Holy Spirit, and like Him guiding you as you're reading it. Like, if you're a believer, mm-hmm. like there's scripture to back up that He's there to guide you and teach you.
Right.
And I think going back to the part about like how you're saying, do I defend my family or do I just let it happen? But I think Christians like have this idea that like sometimes like we're a doormat and we're not.
Right.
And I think we let people walk over us and we let people treat us the way that they do because we love Jesus and because A, B, C, D, we're supposed to be nice to people. And totally, yes, but I think there comes a time where you do have to defend yourself and like you just can't let people treat you like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I let people treat me like crap, like that's gonna ruin who I am inside if I keep letting people treat me how society treats Christians and thinking that we're soft, but we're not soft. We're called to have thick skin and a soft heart.
Right.
And so with that, I think you have to be, it's discernment and just picking and choosing. And I think whatever happens, it's like, so someone barges into your house and you have to shoot and kill them. I think sin is still in the world. And I think that's just like an evident piece to it. And it's like, we are fighting against sin and we're trying to combat it. And we're hopefully trying to get rid of it, with bringing people to Christ, but that's always going to be here. And so I don't know like what the full answer is on it, but I think like with guns, it's like, I don't know if that's like, it's bold to say like, is that like a creation of God? Like, did he create it because he created the man who came up with the idea for guns? Like, going
and he gave that guy the talent and the gifts to do it.
Yeah, and so that's where I'm like, I circle back and forth. I'm like, well, did God create it or did man create it via sin because this is a fallen world and maybe Satan was behind it? Who knows? So it's like
that's a scary one because then it's like you have like, well, I blame God for Hitler.
Right.
God created Hitler because he had such a great speaking voice and people turned to genocide. That's a dangerous one. That's scary. Sorry, totally.
I was like, all right, cool. All right. So
real quick though, on that though, terrible dude though he was, horrible situation. I will not say that anything that he did was good. That being said, the creation of Israel directly came out of Nazi, like, because of Nazi Germany. And
that's very true.
I'll just say right now, Israel is pretty freaking awesome.
Never been. Heard it's awesome.
Neither have I. But just all the stuff that I hear, like, they're a small nation of Jews surrounded by other nations who want to kill them, and they haven't been able to do it. And I find that hilarious and awesome.
I support Israel and my son. Oh, that's Krav Maga. Yeah.
Dude, I used to do it. I miss it so right much. There. I love Krav Maga. So much fun. You hit people in the nuts all day long.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't do that.
Oh,
at least to me.
I'm not kidding. I did it for about a year, and like 90% of the stuff they learn is like, okay, someone comes at you with a knife.
It's dirty.
Block here, redirect, so it's punch him in the nuts.
It's a school of cheap shots.
Dude,
no, it's survived.
Straight up, they told us many times, like, hey, we're not teaching you tournament fighting, we're not teaching you fair fighting, I'm teaching you to get home at night if someone comes and tries some stuff. That's the end of it.
One of the guys I used to work with, the Krav Maga, he came into work one day with two black eyes and a broken rib. I'm like, dude, what happened? He goes, I was training last night. I'm like, what?
You should sue the other guy.
Yeah, right?
He's fine.
I'm like, well, this guy doesn't look, you know, he didn't look like, you know, someone that should be doing Krav Maga. Grant, there's no, like, this is what you should look
but
like.
But at the same time, that's probably the guy that should be doing
exactly.
Krav Maga.
Exactly. And this guy, once I'm like, do you do Krav Maga? I'm like, so I look it up. I'm like, I do not want to mess with this guy. Like, if he came back with that and he's still here working on cars, like, dude, your pain tolerance is either one really high or you are a lot better shape than their dude is.
Krav was a good time for sure. Learned a lot of fun stuff. Got hit in the nuts so many times.
It's okay. I got hit in the butt cheek by a hockey puck, so it's okay.
That's not the same thing.
Dude, you should see the bruise. Not really. I'm not going to show you the bruise, but I'm just saying.
Drop trial was still.
I mean, if you take that and you just widen it out on a butt cheek.
Ooh, nice. That's pretty.
Stop it with my arm.
There we go.
Josh is a beast.
Took one for the team.
Hey everyone, venture into the pop culture cosmos today, where you'll hear our conversations on different topics within the world of movies, TV, video games, comic books, technology, board gaming, and more. You'll also get a taste of some of our other shows within the cosmos as well. So come on and join us each week as we delve into the pop culture cosmos.
Welcome to the pop culture cosmos.
That to us people that can feel things, it hurts.